All right, well, welcome to another episode of The Mate Guys.
Welcome, welcome.
Coming at you live from not live.
From the past.
Yeah, coming at you from, let's be honest, probably like 6 weeks ago. No. I'm gonna edit this one real quick.
Fingers crossed. We'll see.
Oh well, we'll see. But yeah, so let's get to our follow up. In a stunning turn of events, we have no follow up. I don't think.
Yeah, I don't. Right? I don't think so.
I just got a new phone, so I haven't signed into the Mate Guys email. So I actually haven't checked the email in like a week, but
we will check that soon.
Yeah, so if you sent us something, we will get you on the next episode. Sorry, real professional. Yay. yeah, so but anyway, let's jump right into it.
Let's do it.
Today we are talking about a yerb that I feel like was pretty kind of underground and like sort of was like only the connoisseurs knew about it, but recently, especially because I think the used to be called Yerba Mate Land, which was a store run by Circle of Drink, they started carrying it, and so Dave Mate from Circle of Drink was kind of promoting it real heavily and like making videos about it. I don't know if that's the only reason why it suddenly became kind of on everyone's radar. I think that was the first time I'd ever heard of it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I feel like I had seen it once before just on My Mate World? Is that right?
Yeah, Mate World. Yep.
That's I'd seen it once before, but then once he started, you know, pushing it, I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah, okay. Like I feel like, you know, I might have like seen it. My Mate World definitely sells it. So yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, I saw the packaging, but no one was really talking about it, at least not in like the sort of mainstream mate circle, like not at literal circles, but mate circles, but like, you know, the mainstream mate forums, right?
Yeah, exactly.
For like, you know, English speakers or Europeans. Not the, you know, hyper local South American stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's pretty well established compared to, you know, the last like 5 years. And it is called, have we even said the name yet?
No. We're talking about this mystery mate that you're going to have to guess at the very end.
Yeah.
By our descriptions of it.
Yeah, no. It is called Titraihu. I always thought it was Titraihu.
Titraihu.
Yeah. So
that would be the most sensible pronunciation.
Right. Yeah. So I've got the package here with me, and on the side, it kind of explains that Titraihu is a sort of a portmanteau of tierra, trabajo, y, that's the Y, justicia. So, ti for tierra, tra for trabajo, y ju de justicia. Ti, tra, y ju. Could be something like that. So, yeah, it's because it looks kind of like it'd be like a Guarani word or something.
Right, yeah.
But no, apparently it's just made up. They just stuck a bunch of sounds together from words that I guess represents the values of their company. Well, we can kind of go into what they actually are. Yeah, so after like 20 minutes, that's the shit we're talking about today. Sorry about that. It's sort of like Krauss in the way that it's like kind of it markets itself as like a super like ethical type deal.
Right, really like fair trade and that kind of thing.
Yeah, Right. So, like, if you, like, go on their website, and we'll put the website in the description, you know, lots of, like, pictures from their facilities, I guess. But I think the main thing is, like, it's not like Krauss. I feel like, it's Milton Krauss's, like, brainchild. But Titra Yuhu is, like, a cooperative, you know. It says Cooperativa Rio Paraná on the package. So it's, like, you know, it's a whole bunch of farmers, small farmers, kind of banding together to make
this
some sherma. Okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know, like, how many people, how many farms, how many, you know, families or whatever are involved. Kind of, the website kind of makes it seem like it's not that many. They're pretty small. Small enough that, like, apparently, like, it was, like, not a hassle, but, like, the distribution was a concern because, like, they're so small.
And so. Means of getting it out of and shipped out. Yeah, yeah.
Right, but... Yeah, I mean, but apparently they've got that all sorted out because you can easily get it.
Yeah, in the...
Well, easily get it in the U.S., yeah, right? I mean,
comparatively.
I've never seen it in a supermarket, but...
Yeah, same.
I mean, you can... online.
Online, I mean, yeah.
It's not hard to get.
Yeah, yeah. You can find it, though. It's there.
Yeah, it's not impossible to... It's a lot easier to find than the majority of Brazilian stuff, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, yeah. Very true.
So, but yeah, so it is from Argentina, right? It is from the Misiones region. Their address puts them in Parambi, Misiones, Argentina.
Oh, yes. Yes, very familiar with that with that specific part of Misiones. Love that part.
Yeah, it's that my old stomping ground. For sure. Yeah, and then the cut is, I don't know, I mean...
It's pretty...
It's chunky.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, even for Argentina, it's pretty chunky.
Yeah, I got some stick chunks, and I got some big leaf chunks.
Yeah, the leaf chunks, like, it kind of feels like, maybe, like, rustic is a good word, like... The chunks aren't all like
kind of uniform. Yeah.
Like it's like long skinny chunks, some bigger chunks, and then like the palos, the sticks also, the size is kind of just all over the place.
Yeah, it varies quite a bit. Yep.
Yeah, which is cool, you know. It kind of sells itself as like, you know, sort of an indie sherba, right? So it's a little, you know, little criolla, you might say, you know, right?
Yes.
not a whole lot of dust. You know, as to be expected from an Argentine.
Yeah, herb. Yeah, not too much there. An okay amount, but yeah, not very much.
It is dried in a barbacoa. Well, I've seen like 86 different ways of that word being written out with the accent on like every single other syllable
and all of the different A's and U's.
Yeah, it's dried in one of those wooden oven things.
With there's like smoke and stuff and.
Yeah, smoke and stuff. I don't know how long they dry/age their sherba. I'm looking at their website right now, and they make a big deal of like all of the steps and like how, you know, they're harvesting and all this stuff. And I, for the life of me, cannot find... Oh, no, just kidding. It's right here. I'm just stupid. 18 months. 18 months.
Caramba.
Of natural aging. Yeah, well, so the way their website is, they have like... And if you go to their website and look at their Nosotros section, if you scroll all the way down, like it has like the process, but it has like every step as like a little thumbnail, and then it has this giant paragraph. Well, if you scroll after the paragraph, there's four more little thumbnails, and that's where it talks about the estacionamiento.
Sheesh.
So, yeah. So, 18 months of natural aging, right? Yeah. None of that fast artificial crap.
Yep.
Looks like it's aged in the finest white sacks.
Top-notch white sacks.
Yeah. Looks like they're not aged in wooden barrels or anything. But then after that, you know, it's packaged and sent to you.
Sent to you, or the me. Customer.
Yes. Oh,
hey, that's kind of funny. So the thermos I'm using today is a Shimahita. So it's the, you know.
Same here, actually.
Hey. Nice.
Yeah.
Yep.
Shimahita bros. Anyway.
That should be our new podcast name. We're changing. Officially changing that.
What's up, guys?
It's
the Shimahita bros. Oh,
the thermos in one of the pictures on the Nosotros part of their site. It's a picture of a gourd with a bombilla and a package of the titrayu and the shimahita that we're using.
Yeah, just green instead.
Yeah,
of
yeah.
Brown. Yeah, that's kind of funny because shimahita is.
It's a Brazilian.
You usually think of it as a Brazilian thing, but that's cool. They have good taste.
Yes, indeed.
And then if the folks at home don't know what a shimahita is, Clark, could you explain real quick what a shimahita
it's
is? I mean, you said it's a thermos, but it's a specific thermos.
Yeah, man. So it is 1 liter. It has a little handle. It's glass-lined with a plastic exterior. It has a little, how would you even describe this?
Like a little raised
like not photograph but like little picture, little engraving that they made of a gaucho, like a gaucho on horseback
and he's doing cowboy things.
Yeah, got a what is that? Oh,
I actually don't know. I thought it was like the balls on a string, but I don't know.
Whip? I don't know.
It's got a something.
He's got something in his hand.
We're real professional. We definitely know what we're talking about.
Yes, we are from South America. Yep, we know everything. Yes. Nope.
Yes, but anyway, I can put a picture of a shimahita in the show notes if you are curious as to what we're banging on about, or you can just go to that website and you'll see, like, it's like the second to last picture.
Yeah,
it's under the Shiga Osted section.
Shiga Osted. Yes.
But yeah, so that's the yerb. It comes from Argentina, you know. It's got a nice dark olive green color, you know, nice rustic cut, decent amount of stick, little light on the polvo, as you might, you know, expect. But what does it taste like?
It tastes like hot leaves in hot water. No.
Mmm, delicious.
Yes. Just delivering the best commentary today. Drinks pretty nice. It's
goes down
like real milk. Smooth like goat's milk.
Goat's milk.
I wouldn't know. Never had it. I don't know if
me neither.
It's definitely like on the light medium side of flavors. How do you feel about it?
You know, kind of taken in a vacuum, just, you know, without any sort of outside influence or, you know, outside preconceived notions.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. For an Argentine yerba, I would say it's solid. It produces a good, nice foam. Even without using an air pot, you know, just pouring from the, you know, just normal pour from the shimahita, it produces a nice foam, which to me is usually a good sign, you know, a sign of a quality yerba. I would say, it's like a medium robustness. It's, you know, it's smooth. It's not anything super punchy in your face. I like it, you know, just drinking it. I like it. It's, you know, maybe not my day-to-day, but it's pretty good. However, I must confess, Titraihu came to me with a certain level of je ne sais quoi. It came with a little hype.
Oh, yeah.
people talk about this one. Let me, just since we mentioned my mate world.
Yeah.
and they kind of talk on, they have a huge section on their, like a huge big old chungus of a paragraph talking about the company and how they're independent farmers, native families, misiones, and how it's technically organic, but it's not certified, I guess, because, you know, that costs money. And they won the 2017 prize for Sherba, apparently. That's on the package.
Prize of something.
Yeah, the Mejor Sherba en Caminos. 2017.
Maybe it was like a competition in that city that was...
Yeah, maybe.
That's cool.
Yeah, and but they talk about how like it's tech, it's basically organic, but they don't, you know, pay for the label, which is, it's all good.
Right.
No worries there. But so this is, so now that we've talked about it, I mean, so would you say it's like a super creamy, a super herby? Like, what are the kind of the flavor profiles? Because, you know, mate, even though it's, you know, one singular tea, the flavor can be kind of all over the place, right?
Yeah.
You got, like, barón, which is, like, more vegetal. You've got canarias, which is, you know, like, a dark cream. You have del cebador, which is more like a chocolatey creamy. Rosamonte, which is, like, a, you know, a dark herby. So, well, what would you say?
Yeah. This is... It does have a good, like, creamy mouthfeel to it, which I think has to do with that foam, once again, which is great because, you know, even though it's on the lighter side of the, I guess, quantity of dust in the sherba, it still gives off that good foam and creaminess. But it's a kind of a, you know, like, you know, we said, it's like a meat, it's on the medium scale as far as flavor and I guess... bitterness,
flavor strength, right? Not necessarily the flavor quality.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
So it's like a, where Canarias, you know, obviously that's Uruguay and that's a different level, but it you know, kind of the same thing as medium, but a creaminess.
Yeah,
it's not overpowering, but it's nice, so, and it's smooth and creamy.
Okay, so let me just read what My Mate World says. And, you know, flavors, just prefacing this by saying that flavor is super subjective. Everyone's palate is different.
Yeah.
But this is going to kind of introduce sort of the my small issue that I have. So My Mate World says, this premium sherba mate has an earthy umami flavor with a full-bodied mouth intensity. And again, that's one of those things where, you know, that's pretty subjective. I... very disagree about the full-bodied mouth intensity, as I think you probably figured out, because we both pegged it at, like you said, lighter to medium, and I would say solid medium, just because I've had a lot of really light mate that just tastes like nothing.
Right. True.
And then here's the kicker, though. Here's the kicker. It says, we personally think it's a must-try for those who love a medium to strong smoked taste. Okay. So, as we said, you know, barbacoa, 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 barbecue, barbecue, drying, right? So they use a wood smoke oven thing, kiln, to dry the leaves. And everyone on these, you know, Facebook groups, Reddit, they always talk about titraihu being like, oh, it's so smoky, it's like a campfire in your mouth. And I really like super smoky sherba. I like... you know, we've talked about Scape Treader in the past. We've talked about Metamate, you know, Megem,
yep.
Poloch. Super smoky. So
just in your face. Even Rosamonte, like it does, you know, the Edición Especial has that smokiness.
Right. To a lesser extent compared to the others.
Yeah. For sure.
Still, when people say they want a smoky mate, I, you know, Rosamonte, special selection is a good
intro,
you know, kicking off point.
Yeah,
but the way people were talking about titraihu, it kind of made it sound like it was on the level of like Metamate the Gem. And if you've ever had Metamate, you know that that's literally like, you know, you open the package and it's like, holy cow, did someone bring some smoked meats in here? You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Did someone light a campfire in my living room? Like, it's actually kind of off-putting to some people who don't like the taste of smoke because it is so strong. So I was excited to try this because, one, it is relatively inexpensive. I think I paid, you know, maybe $6, $7 for this 500-gram package. You know, not super cheap, but, you know, it's really not expensive, especially compared to something like the GEM, right? Which, you know, is wonderful, but it does come at a little bit of a premium.
Yeah, it does.
So I and especially because, you know, we had heard, word on the street was that another company, which was known for their smoky mate, was private labeling Titrehu, which is, you know, which is not illegal, which is not bad in any way. It's just, you know, it's a thing that, you know, people said was happening. So I was like, oh, I've had sherba from this company and it was really good and really smoky. So maybe Titrehu is going to be, you know, on that level of smokiness. And I opened the package, took a big whiff, and I smelled basically nothing in terms of smokiness. I smelled a normal, everyday Argentine sherba, and I said, okay, you know, that's fine, that's fine. Maybe it's a sneaky smoke, right? Maybe the smoke is in the flavor. Packed my first gourd, filled it up, and there was nothing. I would not say this is super smoky at all. In fact, it kind of reminded me of the La Merced Barbacoa.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, I agree. It's,
and I mean, it's, yes, it is, it might be dried in a thing. Barbacoa, whatever. I need to just look up in like a Spanish dictionary. What's the official? Or maybe it really is. It's fine either way. Anyway,
it's kind of, I don't know. I mean, I know flavor is subjective still and everything like that, but
I did not taste any smoke other than, like, the normal. Well, because here's the thing, right? People always, if you have ever been on a yerba mate Facebook group, forum, whatever, there's always a small subset of people asking, oh, because they've heard about cancer risks, there will always be people saying, oh, is this yerba smoked? Because I don't want to drink smoky yerba, or I don't want to drink a yerba that's been smoked, which is whatever. That's fine. That's their prerogative. They are free to drink whatever they want for whatever concerns they want. I am not here to tell you what to drink and what to watch out for. However, the vast majority of the so-called traditional sherba on the market is dried in some way with fire.
Yes. Right?
Whether it is specifically in the barbacoa method, which tends to use more fire. More smoke. Or if it's in the sort of normal method where it's basically just in like a drum going around, right?
Yeah.
When the drum sits in fire. It's like a washing machine on top of a fire and there's slits cut into it. That's kind of the normal default way, you could say, of drying leaves, because they have to dry the leaves before they age them or whatever have you. So, you know, the vast majority of sherba on the market has some exposure to smoke. So when you go out of your way to say that a sherba was produced in the barbacoa method, to me, that says, oh, this is going to taste even smokier.
Yeah.
However, I feel like, at least in the case of La Merced and Titrehu, yes, perhaps compared to, you know, I mean, definitely compared to something like Kraus, which, or Aguamate, which is produced by Kraus, they advertise it as being an air-dried mate, right? So they don't use fire. Yes, there's more smoke in this compared to an air-dried mate that you would find, you know, maybe, I can't remember if Guayaquil does air-dried mate, but there's other companies
that
do.
Yeah, they do. Yep.
Okay. So yes, when you compare to that, there's more smoke. However, if you compared this to like Cruz de Malta, which doesn't advertise itself as being a barbacoa, or, I mean, even, I'm going to say this and get burned if I'm wrong, so I'm going to look it up. But I do not believe Rosamonte advertises as being barbacoa in any way, right?
Right.
They just advertise themselves as just being a straight-up normal sherba.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing.
Which I suppose they might be using the barbacoa method. I'm trying to look. Yeah, no, I think they... I don't think they use a barbacoa because they're talking about using like a conveyor belt going through a flame and then the rotating cylinder. And yeah, I'm seeing pictures of it now. Yeah, no, that's not a bar. Oh, wait, hold on. Just kidding. So they do. They do. On their website, they talk about it being a barbacoa. Interesting. It says that on their...
On their website.
It does, I don't think it says it on the package. So that would actually explain a lot. And however... What were you going to say?
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear you. What your which brand was this that you're saying?
This is Rosamonte.
Rosamonte. Oh, okay.
I'm looking at the Rosamonte website right now.
Gotcha.
And so it talks about how they flash dry in the normal, you know, tumbling flame washing machine, and then they use a barbacoa to do the full drying, right? So they have a burner basically, you know, with smoke sucking up the smoke into the controlled area to give it a smoky flavor.
And
that's great. I when I drink Rosamonte, yeah, we talked about how Rosamonte is a pretty smoky sherba, which makes sense now looking and seeing that they use a barbacoa. However, I would say Titrayhu is not as smoky as Rosamonte.
Not even close.
So to me, Rosamonte is like the minimum, where if you're going to say that you use a barbacoa method, I would say it has to be at least as smoky as Rosamonte.
Yeah.
La Merced and Titrayhu. I personally don't think they're as smoky as Rosamonte. I don't know. Maybe we might have to do like a direct head-to-head comparison. Like make three gourds of you know, barbacoa, sherba, and rank them from smokiest to least smoky and see if we get them right. I don't know.
Okay.
But just,
yeah.
So that might be a good thing for a future episode.
Maybe even throw in something a little bit weaker like a Cruz de Malta to just compare that spectrum even further.
Right, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is all to say, people, I think, oversold how smoky this sherba is.
Yeah.
I think if people hadn't said like, oh my gosh, this is so smoky, I probably would love this. And I probably would have been super happy with it. But the fact that people kind of talked it up as being this super smoky sherba, and then it ended up being, at least in my perception right now, less smoky than Rosamonte, kind of lets me down a little bit.
Yeah, big letdown. It's, you know, kind of like when you, you know, a new movie comes out and everybody hypes it up and you're listening to the hype and you're like looking at all the reviews. You go in, see the movie, and it's just, I mean, you're just disappointed and it's a letdown and you don't enjoy it as much.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of letdown. It's good. It's really good. I would.
And that's why I said at the beginning, prefacing it, like, you know, kind of taking in a vacuum, assessing just the sherba. It is good. It has a real good medium dark depth. It's not as, you know, kind of, and I definitely can tell that it is a barbacoa because smoked, quote unquote, smoked sherbas do tend to taste darker, less grassy, less like alfalfa, which is the reason why I actually do not like air dried mate because I basically don't think they taste like really anything.
yeah, hardly so any like, flavor there.
Right. But like I said, you know, the vast majority of sherba on the market, when they don't even say they're barbacoa, they get this sort of flavor profile anyway, at least to a certain extent.
Yeah, exactly.
From just the normal drying process.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know if they need to, like, I don't know, use a different kind of wood or, like, just make it a different form of exposure to the, from the smoke
or
to the leaves
exposure,
or longer or something. Because, I mean, if you're going to say it's barbacoa, like, you got to give us something. Because if you have... If you produce it yourself, you try it yourself, and you see the level of smokiness, and you know, I don't know, it's crazy.
And to be fair, I mean, I think we're gonna here in the future. I've got it on the plan to kind of talk about, and we might actually be bringing in a special guest for that episode. But I'm wanting us to talk about sort of consistency in sherbas, how like some batches, you know, don't always turn out the exact same. So it's possible, you know, we got a bad, quote-unquote, bad batch, right?
Maybe true.
Every other harvest has been way smokier.
Sure.
This year, it just wasn't as smoky, you know?
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. It's super common. Even I've had bad batches of Canarias. I've had amazing batches.
Yep.
So it goes really any way.
And especially because, you know, they kind of, you know, marketed it as a sort of artisanal product, right? So, you know, handmade, you expect a certain level of variation.
Exactly. Yep.
And, you know, I'm still drinking it, and the flavor lasts a good long while. It's a good quality sherva. Like I said, I would probably be really, really impressed and really, really like it if it hadn't been overhyped to me as being this incredibly smoky sherva.
Yeah.
Because on its own merits, it's really good.
Yeah.
I definitely suggest someone try it, you know, if they have the opportunity.
Yeah, go online, just try to find it, whatever.
Just, you know, don't expect anything more than like Rosamonte in terms of smokiness.
Right. Yeah.
Cuz like, and I mean, I don't know, maybe it is just like having tried the Gem.
It kind of biases you to every level of smokiness beneath.
Right,
that.
Because that is literally just like off the charts level smoke. So maybe if I'd never had that and I was only experiencing, you know, Argentine barbacoa, then maybe, yeah, I would think Rosamonte and Titrejo are like off the wall crazy levels of smoke, like a campfire in your mouth.
Sure. Yeah, I, and I don't.
But the Gem kind of just ruins that for you, or even, you know, Toloch.
Toloch, even more so. And, I mean, there's quite a few people that have been hyping it up, and I think, as far as I remember correctly, a good majority of them haven't had the, you know, Metamate, the Gem, or Toloch.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Or like something like, what was it called, Scape Shredder Campfire.
Yeah, the Scape Shredder Campfire.
Word on the street, I don't think that shredder was actually available anymore. But we're just talking about it because it is something that was available and was on the market and people knew it as a thing. I'm just okay. Well, the funny thing is if I go on, for example, Yerba Mate Underground, which is one of the Yerba Mate Facebook groups, and if I just type in Titrejo, the first post says it's a review, and then we say, I would say it has a light smoky flavor, but isn't overpowering. Someone commented, didn't impress me, too much polvo, which is funny. says, not as roasty as I wanted it to be.
Oh. Huh.
So that's interesting.
Okay.
So I feel like there was maybe in the very
okay, like so beginning,
very beginning, maybe people who didn't understand like how smoky sherba can be, like we're kind of spreading it around that it was super smoky. Because even going back to like 2017, someone said, you know, they were asking about a different sherba, and they mentioned, you know, is it as strongly smoke flavored as Titrejo? So I feel like there is sort of a divide maybe in the mate world of people who, you know, if you've been drinking something like Kraus for a long time and then tried Titrejo, yeah, you might think it's like, oh my gosh, this is like super smoky. But if you drink Toloachi and then try Titrejo, you're gonna be like, I can have smoke, please.
Exactly.
Right? So,
yeah.
Unfortunately, especially, you know, like, it's kind of the same thing when people talk about, like, oh, what's, like, the most, like, robust mate? It's like, well, you know, after you drink Canarias, they all kind of taste pretty weak sauce.
Yeah, big time. Big time.
You know, so.
It's all comparative. It's all.
Yeah.
Yep. All depends on what you've had.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, yeah, like, but this is all to say, does it have a smoky flavor? Yes, it does have a smoky flavor. However, I just was expecting more smoke.
Yeah. Yep. Let down by the lack of smoke. That's okay.
But again, just to reiterate, without taking the hype into account, it's a solid sherba with a decent smoky note. I would not even say that it has a smoky flavor. I would say it has like a smoky note to it.
Like a really like a nuance of smoke.
Yeah. I feel like I get mostly smoke on the aftertaste.
Yeah.
Whereas something like Toloachi, Gem, it's smoke right at the like front, the carrying flavor, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Where this, it's like you drink it and you're like, oh, good Argentine yerba, and then you swallow, and then you're like, there's a little smokiness back there.
Right, just enough, but yeah. It's yeah. And the flavor is holding up really good. I mean, yeah. I've gone through almost a liter, and it's
I don't think we kind of talked about it before. I don't think we talked about when we were recording. What are you drinking your Titrayhu in today?
Oh, I am drinking it out of a aluminum/metal wrapped Palo Santo gourd. I think this is my fourth or fifth time using it.
Okay.
Awesome. So
what kind of bombisha?
Stainless steel. It's classic quote unquote spoon style. But it's from nice. Brazil, so it's, you know, stainless and it's solid.
Nice, awesome.
What about you?
I'm drinking mine out of a carved Argentine style, you know, traditional calabash gourd, which is not something I actually use that often. But I'm drinking out of a quote-unquote calabash gourd. It's usually either leather-wrapped or it's a Brazilian one. So, and then I'm drinking with an antique silver and gold bombisha from Argentina from probably the 50s or 60s.
Sweet. Yeah, it's a nice-looking bombisha.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
But, any other words about our little sherba here?
No, I mean, yeah, we've covered pretty much everything there is to cover about this. Disappointed on the lack of smokiness, but it's good. It holds up its flavor. Good medium flavored mate. Definitely worth a try. So
try it out. My Mate World has it. There's some other websites that have it. If you just, you know, Google it, you can find it pretty easily. Not super hard to find. Not too expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty affordable. So
yep.
Worth a try.
Well, yeah, I think that's going to be it for us this episode. So thank you again for listening to us. Be sure to send us your comments, questions, complaints to mateguys@gmail.com, and I will check the email and actually sign into the account again.
And maybe we'll respond to you in the future.
Yeah, maybe we'll respond. Who knows? Leave your 5-star reviews on iTunes. It means a lot to us. We'll see you on the next one.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.